The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Welcome to the Growler, a Hootay podcast hosted by Paul Daner and other bald friends like Mo Egger, Dave Nanamets. Home of all your Bengals breaks, takes. Welcome to the Growler.
All right, welcome into the latest edition of the Growler. We're in free agency week, so nothing is normal. We're just firing stuff off left and right, and that means right now it's myself, it's Mo Egger from ESPN 1530. What's going on, Mo?
Do you like legal tampering or illegal tampering more?
I like getting rid of tampering. Why do we have to tamper? Why this ever became the term? Can't we just call it, hey, free agency or negotiating period? Why do we have to why do we have to use this language?
I don't disagree, but if I'm ever tampered with, I want it to be illegal.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Well, I'm not going there. We have too much to talk about to go down that. I have an alien thing that I put in the like rundown from last week.
I don't think
there
we have
was
time.
Big alien news that was sent to me by multiple people, and we just can't today.
Yeah, okay? Sorry.
I'm going to save it. So I know a lot of you showed up here wanting us to react to the Pentagon saying that, look, we don't know what aliens you're talking about. We're not going to do that today because there's just too much else to do. Okay? I'm sorry to let down our adoring public on that.
But it is unfortunate. Also, I hope at some point we can go back to last night and revisit Jay Morrison bringing out the receipts with Twitter people when it comes to Joe Mixon, because I thoroughly enjoyed that last night.
Yeah, Jay and I, it was kind of part of why last night when we needed to do a second podcast after Dave and I started, I was like, I'm going to call Jay. I think Jay might want to come on. Hashtag Jay's Got Receipts, our new segment. So it was perfect timing. It was perfect timing to do that. So those are up. Dave and I with day one is up, and then Jay and I talking Mixon and Moss is up if you want to go back and listen to those. But Mo and I are going to talk T. Higgins, which I wanted to save this for us because it felt like a good philosophical topic. I know you obviously we've touched on it a lot, and you touched on it again yesterday on your show. I'm positive we will talk about it again this afternoon from 3 to 4 while you sweat the West Virginia Cincinnati game and I have to take the wheel of the radio show potentially. But I want to start here. T. Higgins requests a trade, and this was not necessarily surprising. This has happened before. Was there any element of it from the, allegations from his camp that they haven't even talked about a long-term deal in over a year, to the distraction this could cause, to just the idea of now possibly trading? Is there any aspect of it that was concerning to you?
No. And I would love for there to be, because then I'd have something to really talk about. But no, I mean, I think yesterday was inevitable, right? I think as we kind of realized, whenever it was last summer, that they weren't going to get a long-term deal done, there was always this place on the timeline where we found out that T was going to request a trade. And, I can certainly understand why. I don't know that I'm that surprised that there really hasn't been any negotiation between the two, because my guess is the Bengals have made their offer, thrown their hands up and said, look, this is what we're going to do. And if you want to come closer to us, you know how to get a hold of us. I don't know that that's that surprising either. I think what happens, and maybe it happens here more than any other, unfortunately, this franchise's past still looms over everything they do in the present. And their reputation, because of the things that happened in the past, still loom over everything they do in the present. So invariably you hear from folks who want to bring up how cheap the Bengals are and how dirty the Bengals are and how they don't know how to negotiate. And I don't love that. But as it relates to T. Higgins specifically, I don't know that I'm really blown away by any of this. You know, you pointed out yesterday, very early on, Jonah Williams requested a trade a year ago. There's a difference between a request and an ultimatum. I've joked, we've requested a snow cone machine in the studio. I don't think I'm going to get one, but maybe I'll make an ultimatum. I don't know. But yeah. Jonah Williams requested a trade and then showed up and played well. And we'll see what happens with Jonah Williams. I also think we have to give credit to the player and the team involved here. I said this on my show yesterday. In watching T. Higgins play out his 4 years in Cincinnati so far, I've never gathered that he's the kind of player who's going to allow business to dramatically impact his willingness to be a good teammate. It may impact his production. At the beginning of the season last year, he certainly didn't play to the level that we've all been used to. But I can't think of a guy in the NFL who's now more motivated and who's better set up to channel that motivation into a quality year with Joe Burrow throwing him the football, playing in an offense that has Ja'Marr Chase, the desire, I would imagine, to prove that he can stay healthy and be more productive than he was last season and show the league that he's deserving of the kind of cash that he's looking for. He's motivated, but I've never watched him. I used the example of the Kansas City game when he was sneaking onto the field with an injury when he's going into his walk year to try to tell, to try to help his team win. So I put a lot of faith and stock in that. And I also, we've talked about this before. If we're going to go on about how good the culture is here, that has to be something we believe in and not just say. And so I'm led to believe that the construction of the team is such that they understand a player is doing his business. The player and the team are at odds in terms of long-term deal compensation, et cetera. But you know what? When we're on the practice field, it's business. When we're preparing for a game, it's getting ready for this coming Sunday. When we're on the field together, all that other stuff gets cast aside. That was the case with Jesse Bates. That was the case with Jonah Williams. I'm led to believe it's going to be the case with T. Higgins.
Exactly. Is there a scenario where they don't trade T. Higgins and you're worried about him being on the field this season? No.
No.
Like that's not a thing, okay? He's going to say, I don't want to play on the tech. They all say that.
Right.
And they all show up and they all play on it because nobody wants to be Le'Veon Bell 6 years ago who screwed it up. Like, no one does that, okay? Mm-hmm. We've been down this road with Jesse Bates. So let's cross that off, the idea that T. is going to jeopardize his – what this is all about, which is his one big contract. He's going to jeopardize that by sitting out. I mean, and none of that makes sense. So that's not going to happen. Two, the idea of him coming and all of a sudden, like, not really playing hard. And like, that's not going to happen. Like, he's going to come in. He has everything to play for.
Yeah.
And he has proven time and again that he is a good teammate. He feels very much like the offensive Jesse Bates. That is like, I care about my team and my teammates too much to go out there and not give it absolutely everything I have. And I have all of this money on the line to go prove that I can be a number one, to go prove that I can have a healthy season, to go prove all of these things that people are saying about me that are keeping me from this whatever money figure that I want. Okay, so it's like, that you take all that into the equation and trade, don't show up at camp, show up at offseason. None of it really matters because it ends where the Bengals want it to, and that's with Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, and Joe Burrow on the field together next season trying to go win it.
Yeah, and an extraordinarily motivated T. Higgins. Look, if every time in the United States of America an employee who is unhappy with their salary or working conditions showed up and was a bad employee, this country's economy would have ground to a halt decades ago.
Yeah.
So I you know, maybe it's not apples to apples, but I genuinely believe T. Higgins is professional enough to understand, like, there's the business part of this. It's come to a standstill. I'm still going to make close to $21 million. All right. But now I'm with my teammates and we have a chance to win. And if I help us win, oh my God, I'm going to cash in a major way. And you know, you've talked about this before. I think, I think at times we overstate how much these guys care about what their teammates make, right? At the end of the day, they're all concerned about themselves. You know, for all the talk about how, well, Joe Burrow, he's not the kind of guy who's gonna want the most money. Well, guess what? He did. So that's what they do. And so it's interesting. It makes for fun conversation, but I take into account the track record of the player here. And as you pointed out, T. Higgins has been a great teammate. And I can't think of a guy in the NFL who's not only more motivated, he's going to have Joe Burrow throwing him the football. Like, as franchise tag players go, boy, you could be in a lot worse shape than T. Higgins. I do think the conversation, you brought this up to me on social media yesterday. I do think the conversation about the franchise tag is fascinating to me, because it feels like every year it gets used and every year the chatter gets louder about how much the franchise tag stinks. And yet every time the NFLPA has a chance to do something about it, they never do. And I said to you on Twitter, like, as if I'm a rank and file player, I don't want to strike, right? Mm-hmm. The average NFL career is like 54 or 55 game checks. I don't want to compromise one of those. But if we really want the franchise tag to go away, which everybody seemingly does, players, folks who cover the league, fans, everybody but owners, are we ever going to get to a point where the Players Association is going to do something meaningful to make the franchise tag go away? My guess is no, because the track record of the Players Association is such that they won't do what they need to do to get something done that's meaningful. But I think the conversation is really interesting about, you know, everybody hates this. What do we make it do to go away? What do we do to make it go away, I should say? And is anybody in a position to make those decisions going to be willing to ultimately use player availability as leverage to make the franchise tag go away?
I look forward to hopefully, I don't know, hopefully or not, hopefully me and you are still doing radio together in 2028 or 29 or 30 when they go. But honestly, when the league shows up and says we want 18 games, mm-hmm. I would have a list of things. Mm-hmm. We're talking rookie contract length. We're talking franchise tag. We're talking all of this stuff mm-hmm. needs to get, if you want your big piece, I have a long list of things that you have to give us. And that would certainly be part of it if that was something I'm interested in. The other part of this, let's talk about the trade element of this. Okay. Mm-hmm. So here's what somebody kind of said to me yesterday as I talked to them, is that the bottom line is something that you have said and they have repeated. And it was told to me yesterday as this thing blew up. They want to win the Super Bowl next year. Mm-hmm. They believe the best path to do that is with T. Higgins. Mm-hmm. So they don't really talk about trading T. Higgins because that's not the plan. The mm-hmm. plan is trying to win the Super Bowl with a team that can win the Super Bowl in 2024. And T is the guy to help them get there. No one is ever going to sit here and say never. Okay. If some team shows up and offers you a crazy package and you could get Malik Nabers and another thing and like some throw, like anybody can be blown away. Everyone sure. has their price. The likelihood of them trading T. Higgins is tiny. Okay. The smoke out there is smoke, and it's not smoking from Paycor Stadium. Okay. And so, because their plan is pretty clear and apparent, and I think the entire league knows that. And so, that said, do you still feel like in this current setup that not trading T. Higgins is still the best way to go, kind of where we've now reached this point of trade requests and we know what you might be able to get for it and all of that? Do you still feel like that's still the best path ahead?
100%. Yeah. I think this team can win a Super Bowl with a healthy Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins on the field for the overwhelming majority of the games the Bengals will play in 2024. And that drives the conversation. This is a team. They're not in rebuild mode. They have a legitimate chance. Regardless of what else happens over the coming weeks, regardless of what happens in the draft, and as you and I talked this morning, I think the Bengals have had a good early jump into free agency with what they've done. But regardless, T, Ja'Marr, and Joe, I know what that looks like. You know, you outlined in one of your four pieces Are you going to do four more now that he's requested a trade?
Why not? Why not four-part series reaction to the trade request?
That's right. But, you know, really how productive that trio was when they were on the field for the limited amount of time they were on the field in 2023. That's a championship trio. And it's fair to say, well, if it's a championship trio, why aren't they working harder to keep that trio together? I mean, that's a financial conversation more than it is a football one. The football conversation in 2024, this team is better positioned to win with T than they are without him. And I certainly understand folks are going to have fun with different trade scenarios and teams that can offer draft choices. Fine, whatever. I want to win the title this year. There are times when it's worth going all in. Fans say all the time, I say all the time, boy, it would just be great if they would go all in. Keeping T Higgins this year at the expense of losing him for essentially nothing in a year is the definition of going all in this year. And if it works, awesome, right? Everybody wins a ring. We get a parade. T goes and gets his bag. Or if it doesn't work, okay. Like, I've talked about Jesse Bates. I hated what happened to the defense in the absence of Jesse Bates last year. But the way things played out with him specifically, they went for it with Jesse Bates and it didn't work. But okay. I can live with that. I've done the imaginary scenario on my show where I go, let's pretend it's the day after the Super Bowl. The Bengals have just won and T. Higgins has declared his intention to go play for fill in the blank. Are we still okay with that? And to me, the answer is yes. And if it doesn't happen, if they don't win it, and okay, they tried. They had a team and a trio that was worth going for it with, and they tried and it didn't work. I can live with that. You cannot convince me that any trade package, any reasonable trade package, is going to put the Bengals in a better position to win this year than they are right now, assuming the T is going to play for them in 2024.
It's so tempting, right, to play that projection game.
Right.
Oh, you know what? If they could get a second and a third from Carolina, and now you're picking 33, and you can get – You can get this defensive tackle, and you can get the offensive tackle, and you can get a couple. And think about it now. Now you've got four day two picks, and you can go nuts. Well, how many of those are going to hit? How many of those are going to be the next Jackson Carmen or Drew Sample or player that you bemoan that didn't quite live up to expectations? And what's the percentage chance that any of them are going to be T. Higgins? Not great. I mean, that's just the nature of the draft and the nature of prospects. And it's fun to imagine it all coming together and think that you're all going to hit. It's just a percentage game. And I get it. Like, you can make so many arguments for that and sustainability and down the road. And I'm a believer in a lot of that. I mean, I think it's a coin flip decision, which we've talked about with this. And I think that's why there's so many people on both sides of it. But the bottom line is, like, the only thing you can say for sure about any of that is that 2024 sure looks good if T. Higgins is playing on this team. And I think that's what they're kind of latching onto, unless somebody gives them something that feels more for sure. And that's just going to be really hard to do. And I think that's where they kind of find themselves right now. And they're not super willing to do that anyway. I think it's fascinating when you look how much you can get. So it's really that whole thing that we all do. It's just this, the draft, the industrial complex, right?
Sure.
Everybody is so enamored and grinding the tape and watching this guy and that receiver and this, what it could be. And man, if they all turn into what we think they can be, this could be the greatest team. This could be the 90s Cowboys. Like, they're going to be unstoppable. And we can have debates about receiver value and receiver two value. And it's so much of it is just projection, and so much it is like, man, but what if, and not as much of, but what do we know for sure? And I appreciate a team that has been criticized for this over the years saying, we like what is, and we like trying to win now, and we're going to focus on winning now. And, you know, we have a plan for next year, but the plan for next year involves hopefully, you know, recovering from the hangover of the Super Bowl.
Right. Yeah. I mean, to me, look, they go to the Super Bowl ahead of schedule in 2021. But when they drafted Joe Burrow, in the back of my mind was 23 and 24. That's what everything is building toward. Now, that is a maybe a little bit of a slower pace than we really do in the NFL anymore. But to me, when they drafted Joe Burrow, I'm thinking, okay, this is going to take a couple of years to take off. It's going to take a couple of years for them to build a really good team around him. I'm looking at 23 and 24. 23 didn't work out, mainly because Joe Burrow wasn't healthy. Fine. Here we are. It's 24. To hit the eject button on that now for a bunch of unknowns just doesn't mesh. Just doesn't make sense to me. This is not a team that's rebuilding. It's not a team with a major question at quarterback. It's got the most important piece in place. And, you know, he's technically still within his rookie contract, right? It's the fifth year of five, you know, and I know the money changes because of his contract extension. I keep coming back to that. What gives them the best chance to win this season? I understand everybody loves to pretend they're a general manager, and the general manager's job is to balance the short term and the long term. But there are times where I think it's worth pushing your chips to the center of the table and going, screw it, we're going for it right now. This is one of those times. And if it works out, who's not going to be happy with how it played out? And to me, though, even if it doesn't, this team is worth it. This player is worth it. And so I'm Mr. Open-minded, right? Let's hear your trade offers. Wow me. Overwhelm me. But you've got to convince me that a possible trade puts them closer to winning this season than having T. Higgins on the team. And I have yet to hear anything that would make me think that a trade puts them in better position to win a championship this year than if they keep T. Higgins around. So I'm basically planting my flag. I understand the difficulty in maybe losing a player and getting nothing more than a compensatory pick, but I want to win the title this year, and I think they can. So let's go do it and then deal with the fallout afterward. And I could certainly understand why Duke Tobin, who again is tasked with balancing short and long term, would say, you know what, screw it. We're going for it this year, and T. Higgins represents being on the team represents our best chance of getting that done.
And they can still do both.
Yeah.
They could tag him again next year and be sure. Right back in this spot of leverage.
Oh, I can't wait.
It's the Oh, yeah. I'm sure T will be thrilled. But I mean, you know, if you're worried about not getting value, if it's about what do you want? We're going to hang the value banner. Great value for T. Higgins 2024, right? You know, pull it up now. Here we go. We're going up. Or do you, you know, you can still come back next year and let's see who the hell knows what's going to happen with all of these receivers that need to get paid over the next 5 months. What is the market going to look like? You could tag them again next year and come back, and someone will probably be willing to pay for them again with something better than a third round pick that you would get in a compensatory pick. You can still do this. And yeah, there's going to be agitation and whatever. Go down that road then. And who knows? Maybe it turns into Chris Jones and he just gets on one at the Super Bowl and says, you know what? Bring me back. I'm coming back. Let's do it again. And maybe it changes everything. Maybe it changes his view on everything. Who knows? So much changes in the course of one football season. It's unbelievable in terms of perception, in terms of value, in terms of the direction of a franchise, in terms of who's employed there anymore. It's ridiculous. And so to try to do too much projecting what the whole NFL landscape and your franchise is going to look like in 1 year is a dangerous territory as well. And you can always play this game again next year and try to get value if that's something that you want to do. And I think that's something that is in their back pocket. And I don't know, like I think T. Higgins is a great player. Mm-hmm. I think he is a absolutely elite wide receiver too. And that's not me not calling him a wide receiver one.
Right.
But on a team that's going to win the Super Bowl, that's like your number one weapon is that guy's your wide receiver too, okay? And so I don't know what his career looks like with a bad quarterback as a wide receiver one making $25 million and the pressure of a franchise on him. I don't know what that looks like. I hope it doesn't go the way we've seen some people that have left Joe Burrow not be able to find the same success. I hope that's not the case for T. Higgins. But I think if you're T, you got to look yourself a little bit in the mirror and say, is being in the playoffs and playing with Joe Burrow and being a potential Super Bowl person and being, if I'm not in the Super Bowl, on Radio Row, me and Jamar doing every ad and being a known person in face. Ask Travis Kelce about how that works. If you just stay with the winning franchise and keep yourself a prominent person in the NFL, what happens for you? Isn't that valuable as well? I'm not here telling somebody not to go get your money. Go get your money. I would do the same. I don't fault him for anything that he's doing or his camp is doing right now with whatever leverage they have. But I don't think enough players think about that side of the equation. Is the NFL will keep you very financially happy if you stay playing in January, playing in Super Bowls, letting Joe Burrow throw you the football. Man, when you're T. Higgins, like, right. That's good too. And I just think that gets overlooked sometimes in this whole conversation.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the specific terms the Bengals have offered. I'm going to be willing to bet they're pretty healthy terms, right? I mean, it's not like they haven't offered him anything, right? It's not like they've said, you're done after 2024. I would be interested in what that deal looks like. And then if you put that in front of T and said, all right, so it's a little bit less, but here are the ways you could recover some of that money by, you know, being a part of something special here that legitimately could materialize. You know, I mean, I think it'd be really interesting to see what happens if they win it. Right. Yeah. I think it'd be real. You know, you mentioned the Chris Jones thing. A lot of people, when he held out and missed the first game of the season, a lot of people thought, well, okay, we know how this is going to end, right? He's going to play out the year and then bolt. And then, you know, the good vibes of winning, and suddenly Chris Jones is back with the Kansas City Chiefs. And so who knows? What I would tell T, what I would tell the Bengals, what I would tell everybody interested in the team this year, and let's see how things play out. And maybe it goes poorly, and then, okay, T. Higgins becomes a free agent, and the Bengals figure out what's next, revolving around a franchise quarterback. Or maybe they win it, and there's sort of a reconsideration of how this can work long-term moving forward and what it can mean for everybody financially and otherwise. I'm willing to sort of punt everything to next February in an effort to win. And if they do, let's see where everybody is. And if they don't, let's see where everybody is. But I keep coming back to, there are times when it's worth going for it. Right now, it's worth going for it. Even in the loaded AFC North, even with the questions that many of us have about the defense, this team is worth going for it. You cannot convince me that any other option puts them in a better position to win this coming season. And if they do win this coming season, you know, it's interesting what winning sometimes does. I'd like to experience that. I'd like to see T. Higgins and the team experience that.
Mo, today from 3 to 4 on ESPN 1530, you will try to not lose your mind while also watching the UC West Virginia game. I will hope that no more signings pop off between 3 and 4 in that time as well. And we can go ahead and have a nice radio show because we have a million things to talk about. So look forward to doing that. And maybe we'll even recreate some of this conversation, which I would be happy to do as well. Mo, appreciate your time as always. Free agency keeps spinning. Keep it locked to the Growler. The podcast will keep coming your way as we react to everything that's going on this week. Thanks everybody for listening, and we will talk to you next time. Have a good one.